is on laziness, and we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 6 to get started. Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to start in verse number 6. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse number 6, it says there, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." Now, when I got this subject on laziness, I told Grandma and Grandpa I've had to work harder at this camp than I've ever worked before. Because you guys kind of think I might not be, if you see me just always being leisurely, then you'd say, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And Grandma told me she did it on purpose. So that's why they did it, so that they could get more work out of me. But anyway, today we have a problem, and it's a very big problem, and it might you might know somebody, you yourself might have a problem with laziness. The definition of laziness is one disinclined to activity or exertion, not energetic or vigorous, not rigorous or strict. Then the definition of a sluggard is a habitually lazy person. And over in Britain, I saw some of these things off the internet while I was studying for this class, and it says a why bother economy has been created in Britain, which has left thousands with no motivation to work. A report published today concludes successive governments have encouraged a welfare culture that has left every working family facing a 1,300-pound bill because the poor stay poor, it claims. So the working British are left with a 1,300-pound bill, you know, they use pounds over there, to help pay for those who are not working. Well, that's kind of bad. And you know what? In our society today, I heard a statistic the other day. I couldn't find it anywhere, so maybe I'm not totally exact on this, but I think over 42% of the American people are not working today, are unemployed or not working. And that's part because of a bad economy or different things, but a lot of it's because of just plain laziness. Another thing I wanted to say is a lazy person, whatever the talents with which he starts out, have condemned himself to second-rate thoughts and to second-rate friends. Laziness travels so slowly that poverty soon overtakes him. And that's also true about laziness. And that comes from Ben Franklin. And then Ben Franklin also said this, "Sloth, like rust, consumes faster than labor wears, while the used key is always bright." You know, the key that you use is always bright because it's going in and out and it's working, it's doing its job. But the one that doesn't gets rust and it gets old and it looks terrible in the end. That's what happens to our lives whenever we have laziness. And that's something that we need to get corrected in our own personal lives. Then this morning I'm going to ask the question, what should we know about laziness? And the first thing we should know about laziness is this. A lazy person makes excuses. A lazy person makes excuses. I was looking at some things that bosses have turned in for people that said they were not able to come into work that day. One says, "I think I have a bug in my system. A real bug. I yawned riding the motorcycle. Calling in to ask for work off." The other one was, it was pretty funny, "I broke my leg, but I think I'll be better tomorrow." Well, that's kind of a sorry excuse, isn't it? And then this one is my personal favorite. Somebody called in to a boss and said, "I have a sudden case of attention deficit disorder, so I won't be able to. Look, a bird. Oh, I like chocolate. Bye." So, you know, people come up with all sorts of weird excuses to get out of work. And that's what a lazy person does. He finds excuses for not getting jobs done. Let's go to Proverbs 26 and verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 26, beginning in verse number 13. Proverbs 26 and verse 13, it says there, "The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets." Well, there it is. A lazy man making an excuse for himself. Why he shouldn't work. And, you know, it happens too in Christianity sometimes, as far as doing the work of the Lord, people can come up with all sorts of excuses. You know, why they shouldn't be in church. And, you know, some of them have to stay home because their child got a little scrape the day before and they are afraid that something might happen. I've heard people tell me for a period of 5 or 6 months, I would call them when they wouldn't come into church and I would be telling them we wanted them to come back. And they would say, "Well, it's the cold and flu season and I'm afraid my kids are going to get sick." But then guess where I saw their kids? Monday through Friday, sitting there in the school. And what was amazing to me about the cold and flu season is that they all got sick and they never stepped foot in the church door, but they did get sick somehow, even though they were trying to protect their kids so much. Well, it's just an excuse. Why they didn't want to be there? Well, it's cold and flu season. I remember one time I called that boy, and he answered the phone, and I said, I'm heading your way. I'll come out by and pick you up. He says, "Yeah, I'd really like to go to church with you guys tonight." He says, "Let me ask my mom." Well, then he gets back on the phone and he says, "Well, I've been feeling a little sick lately. I can't make it to church." Well, that's the way of excuses, isn't it? Not wanting to get to work, not wanting to be there, be in part. It's because they're plain lazy. They don't want to dress up or they don't want to get ready to be in church. And that's what lazy people do. And they make excuses for themselves. They find a way to get out by making an excuse for why they can't do something. And, you know, it's always amazing how people find excuses for church, and then you'll see them out and about in life, and they're doing anything and everything they want. One guy has a chronic back problem that we've been working with, and, you know, he hasn't been in church, I think, for 2 years because his back's so bad. But then he goes to the beach, and then he goes out to Illinois, and rides in the car for 13 to 15 hours. Well, what is it? Well, the back pain's only there on Sunday morning, so he doesn't have to go to church. "Oh, I got a pain in my back. I can't make it today." Well, it's because they want to find an excuse. And we don't want to be that way, and that's because of laziness. Then another thing that we should know about laziness is that a lazy person doesn't go anywhere in work or in life. You know, that's the truth. A lazy person doesn't go anywhere in work or life. Whenever I talked about the why bother economy, about that in Britain, there was a picture of a family that had never worked their entire life. That's what the article said. They hadn't even worked. And there they had two kids. And, you know, yeah, they had, you know, they had the government providing them a place to live and government giving them food to eat off of somebody else's tab, but they've not gone anywhere in life. They're going to stay in that apartment or wherever they're at for the rest of their lives as long as the government's going to pay for it. Well, that's laziness. And, you know, we don't want to be lazy like that because we won't go anywhere in work. We won't go anywhere in life. We won't go anywhere spiritually if we are lazy people. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 12, beginning in verse number 24. Proverbs 12 and verse 24, it says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession." What happens to a lazy man? He'll be put into forced labor. And, you know, today we're not being put into forced labor. But as many people that are living off of government programs and government assistance, who are they subjection to? The government. You know, if the government doesn't want something to happen and you're getting your paycheck from the government, what was it? Dad said, $400 a week that guy was getting. Well, isn't he really a slave to the government? Because if that government wants to cut off his check because he's doing something the government doesn't want him to do, guess what? He's got to stop doing that. Otherwise, he stops getting his check. So he's got to be a slave to the government, whatever the government says. And that's really scary for Christians because there could be a time, down the road where the government is totally against Christianity. And if Christians are living off the government, what happens? Well, out goes Christianity because they're lazy. They want to live off the government. You say, well, that's a worst case scenario. Well, I'm telling you, it's amazing. In our country, I was talking to a guy waiting to get on the plane in the security line in Charlotte. He says, we have reason to fear the government. He said, government has taken down major companies in the last few years. Think about that for a moment. Think about that. They can take down major companies. Well, then they can do whatever they want to people that are living off welfare and everybody that's lazy. They can just have their way. And I think that's what's a big problem in our country today is morality goes out the window because of laziness. I mean, people don't want to vote on moral issues because they want the best person in there to give them the biggest paycheck, and so that morality goes out the window. And that's because of laziness, because they don't want to work, don't want to get out there and get a job. Crazy. If you go to Proverbs 26 and verse 14, Proverbs 26 and verse 14. Proverbs 26 and verse 14, it says there, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. You know, that's pretty lazy, isn't it? There are a lot of people out there like that, though. We've tried helping families there in North Carolina. And, you know, there's one couple I think of in particular. She lost her job 2 years ago, and he lost his job 2.5 years ago. And since then, they've lived off the government. Well, I need to find a job, they told me. So I said, good, I'll help you find a job. So that night I went out. We have had, and it's a bad economy. I know it's a bad economy everywhere. But we've had over 25,000 jobs lost within a 40-mile radius of where we're at. All the textiles and everything going out. It's really bad. And that's what everybody's excuse is for not working. Well, there's just no jobs. Well, I found out something. I got on the internet that night, and a lot of things have gone to the internet as far as jobs and different things, and I found 40 jobs in 2 hours within a 40-mile radius of where we lived. Pretty good jobs, too. And some of them were minimum wage. But you know what? Then I told that guy, I'll meet up with you at McDonald's where it has Wi-Fi. I'll bring my laptop. And we'll go apply for some jobs for you. Guess what he said? Well, I'll do it a little bit later. And that was 6 months ago. And he still doesn't have a job. That's laziness. You know, he doesn't, and you know, he depends on the generosity of people. He can't even pay rent where he's living right now. And somebody's just letting him live there for free. So he's dependent on people's generosity. That's all he's dependent on. And that's not what we want to be. A lazy person doesn't go anywhere in work or in life or anywhere spiritually either because they're chronically lazy. And we don't want to be that way ourselves. Then another thing that we want to think about in this laziness is that parents are a determining factor in children's laziness. If you go with me to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. A lot of you are familiar with this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Laziness breeds laziness. If a parent's lazy, it's going to breed laziness. But on the flip side of that, some hardworking parents give their kids everything, and the child is left with no ambition for anything. If I get everything and I never had to work for anything, well, then we'd send those kids into society. What are they wanting? Free handout. Because they don't know how to work. Will Hunton from The Observer, I don't know which paper it is, I just found this, says, boys have lost their fear at the same time misplaced any sense of ambition. With two great animators of human motivation, fear and ambition, knocked out, we have a growing army of underperforming, unnecessarily idle, and too often unemployed young men unable to motivate themselves. They just stew. The kids are given anything and everything, and that leaves the children with no motivation to achieve anything. And you know, we have to set the tone in Lord's Church to make sure we're not breeding laziness in our kids and in our young people. You know, I think that's a big reason why young people want to stray. It's because it takes work to stay faithful. 18 to 25 are brutal years on a young person in Christianity. You look, and you preachers know this because you've watched it happen. And I've only been preaching for 6 years, and I've seen it happen to our young people. From the time they turn 18 to the time they turn 25, it seems like you lose sight of them. And a lot of it's because they're lazy spiritually. Well, because parents didn't push them spiritually. Didn't push them physically either in regular work. You know, I thought about this while I was studying on this and thinking about whenever I grew up. I believe I was 12 years old whenever I started helping Don and JB mow yards. 12 years old, Don and JB had their own business, and I would go out and I would work with them. And then, of course, we helped Dad with the job that he had. And we would wake up sometimes at 4:30 in the morning. We'd go out and work on Friday mornings, and we work hard at what we did. And we got a little bit of money from that. But that created motivation to work. And in our society, there's not a lot of that happening. You know, I used to see, whenever I was in high school and different things, kids were going out to McDonald's in the summer and getting jobs and different things. And you can ask a lot of young people today if they're working, and they're from 16 to 18, and none of them are working. None of them are doing any jobs. They're just sitting at home and letting mom and dad provide for them. Well, that's partly the child's fault, but a lot of it is the parents, because they haven't pushed them to be successful. And we want to push our young people to be successful spiritually as well as in life. We want them not to be lazy and living off the government and finding ways to beat the government system. It's amazing how much work people put into beating the government system. That's amazing. They spend more time and more hours driving to and from social programs trying to figure out what they can and cannot get. If they put that much effort into working, guess what? They'd probably have a pretty good job. It's amazing what people do because they're lazy. And then another thing that we have to understand about this is 20% of those who are on welfare have been on it for more than 5 years. And a lot of times in that case, it breeds from that parent to that child. And, you know, I'm young still and learning, but we have some people that run business there in our church, and they've told me different ones, and they say, you know what, it's been grandpa and grandma lived off the government, mom and dad have lived off the government, and now they're seeing the children living off the government. And you know what? We're getting more and more of that. You know, our president just passed a law that would increase the time people can be on unemployment. What's that produce? More laziness. You know, some of the greatest, and I didn't have time to look this up. I know there's one company for sure that started in the Depression, and that was Allstate Insurance. I'm pretty sure it was Allstate. Started in the Depression, but some of the greatest businesses started in the worst of economic times because somebody was forced to go out there and find work or make something happen to put food on the table. That's why we have some of the things that we have today. But that's because people were motivated to work. Well, if we just keep producing where people can just keep living free off of everybody else or off of their old bosses or their old unemployment tax that was given to the employer, then we have a problem in our society that is going to be hard to fix. And when it comes into the church, it needs to be stopped. If you're living this way, you need to find motivation, get out and work. Because God says if a man does not work, he shall not eat. That's what God says about it. God does not like laziness. And you don't find, whenever I was studying for this, I tried to find, and I didn't find, I didn't find any that were talked about as lazy people. Maybe there are some, but when I was searching, I didn't find very many stories of lazy people in the Bible. Why is that? Because there's stories of a lot of people that worked hard and lived faithful lives to God, and it was hard on them. And so we need to remember that. Another thing we need to remember about laziness is procrastination is the suicide of the installment plan. I thought that was a pretty good quote. Procrastination is the suicide of the installment plan. Whenever you keep putting off, don't put off what you can do today to tomorrow. Get it done today. Work hard at it. And that's what we have to do. Then, as we look in what we need to know about laziness, is that Christianity is not for the lazy person. Christianity, we're supposed to grow as Christians. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 12, it says there, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Christianity is not for a lazy person. You know, a lot of people are satisfied, I think, in Christianity to make sure that, well, they've been baptized and then they just kick it into cruise control. I've been baptized, I'm on my way to heaven, and that's all that matters. You know, and that's lazy attitude toward Christianity. A working Christian is one that's looking in his life to grow in areas. And he wants to glean everything he can from God's Word in his own personal life, as well as when he comes to church, and as well as whenever he's listening to anybody teach God's Word, he's wanting to glean what he can so that he can grow closer to God. Christianity is about growth. If we stop growing as Christians, we become weak and we fall away and we end up slipping away from God. You know, that seems like for Christians, it's whenever the tough gets going, Christians want to fall away. If everything's pretty easy and everything's going smooth, then it's all right. But it's those trying times that get a lot of people. Well, you have to work through trying times, don't you, as a Christian? The hard times, whenever your faith is being questioned, why did this happen? Why are things going the way they go? Well, that's a trying thing. That takes growth. That takes working. And growth takes work to grow the way that we're supposed to. Christianity is not for a lazy person. And if you're not working at your Christianity, the devil knows that you're not, and he's looking for you because he knows you're weak. And he, you know, it's just like a lion or any animal that preys on other animals, they don't go for the biggest and strongest, do they? No. Go for the weakest and the smallest, the one that's kind of sitting back from the herd or from the group, and then they go and they take care of them. And that's what the devil does too. If you're a lazy Christian, guess what? The devil already has you marked. He knows what you're doing as a Christian, and he knows where you're going, and he knows what weaknesses you have, and he's just waiting for the right opportune time to take you out. And so you have to work hard to be one of the strong ones. I personally don't want to be taken out by the devil. You know, I want to keep working in my faith so that I stay faithful to God. And I make it to heaven. And so we have to be working as Christians. It takes work for us not to drift away from God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "Therefore we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" all drifting is downstream. Have you ever watched a fish in a stream or in a creek? Any of you guys ever watched one? Have you ever noticed whenever the fish stops moving how he just starts kind of going downstream? And he just starts drifting back. Well, a fish that's swimming upstream, it takes a lot of work. If you ever watched any of the migration of salmon in Alaska, you know, they work hard to get up those rapids to get to where their breeding grounds is. And I mean, they work terribly hard, and a lot of them die because of the work it takes to get to their breeding grounds. But that's what our life is supposed to be. Work where we don't drift away from God. We have to keep like that fish that keeps swimming upstream and never stop and relax and say, well, I've already achieved. I think that's another terrible thing about laziness in Christianity is you overcome so many things and then you think, well, I have reached a good spot. And then you plateau and you stop going forward or you stop going up. And I don't know if you've ever watched any documentaries or anything on Mount Everest. But you know what happens to those who stop on Mount Everest when they're climbing? A lot of them die because they don't keep going and they don't move up to the top and they stop and they give up and there's not enough oxygen and they die going up Mount Everest. Well, I think of Christianity as Mount Everest, but there's no peak. If we stop, we're going to die. So we have to keep working, and that's not for a lazy person. That's not for a lazy Christian. We have to keep working, and we have to keep walking, and we have to keep achieving, and we have to keep growing, and we have to keep going as long as we can go and never give up and never stop. That's what Christianity is all about. Then, final thought that I have for you is that when we're not lazy, we stand to inherit so much. You know, our retirement plan is not a 401k that, you know, is going to be somewhere in investments. But our retirement plan, for those of us who work in Christianity, is going to be with God forever. If you go with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, which we don't have time to go to all the scriptures in Revelation talking about those who overcome. But if you go to verse 21, it says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." He will grant us to sit with Christ on his throne if we overcome. So we stand so much to not be lazy as Christians. The denominational world is full of people that claim to be Christians, but you know why they're there? It's because they're lazy people. They don't want to work for it. They don't want to have to worry about their bad talk. They don't have to worry about what they watch. They don't have to worry about what they want to wear. That's the lazy, quote-unquote, Christians in the world. And that's the denominational world's full of them. But we can't be starting to have those in the Lord's church. We need to always keep working. We always need to keep overcoming and making the goal that we need to so that we can make it to heaven. So I hope you guys enjoyed and learned a little bit from what the Proverbs talks about, laziness. And if you go home, you'll find out there's so much more in Proverbs about laziness, and I didn't have time to talk about it all. So, but anyway, I appreciate your good attention, and I'll turn it over to the next.